Our first reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 18. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not mortal. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from John chapter 17, beginning at verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. For the gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So happy Mother's Day, mums. And one of the things that I like to acknowledge on Mother's Day is sometimes there are mums who don't have their kids, and sometimes there are kids who don't have their mums, and sometimes there are women who would love to have been mums and it didn't happen. And sometimes there are people who've been mums but their children left before they got to a point where they could ever see them. There's all sorts of mums in the world. Some kids had mums and we have trouble giving thanks for them because their mum wasn't really the easiest person to be with. And sometimes we don't know who our mum is because we're adopted. But you know what? God loves all those mums, including the ones who wish they were mums. I know that because he loves me. So just because I think it's important to say on Mother's Day, I think I like to make sure that we celebrate all types of mums. That's going to work better. Now I can walk around. You know what I'm like? I don't like stand still. So because we're celebrating mums, I spent a little bit of time last night baking some white chocolate cupcakes. Now, for gluten allergy people, I use the Cadbury Dream made in Australia. So you should be okay with that. So, and the icing is also gluten-free, the pink icing, and that has a little white chocolate in it too, just for a bit of yumminess. So the implements of mass destruction are up the back and the cupcakes are there. So I thought we might make some Mother's Day cupcakes in however you want to make them. So I'll leave the kids to do that so that we can sample afterwards. If we get any, I can promise you they're yummy because I had to fend Paul off because he had one and then he wanted more. I said, you only get one. I'm just going to put the dead ones in the thing so I don't use them again. Okay. So did anybody ever, when they were a kid, I used to do this when I was a kid, but hey, you know, sometimes we think everybody has our experience and they don't. Did anybody, when they were a kid, go up to the mountains and be walking along and see the little specks that look like gold along the side of the road? Did you ever see those? Yeah, and you look at them when you're a kid, you go, ooh, I found gold. There's gold here. And you're all excited because, you know, we all, as kids, they tell us all in school about the gold rush. And so we see that. And then some wretched adult comes along and says, that's not gold. It's what's called fool's gold. Do you know how to tell the difference between fool's gold and real gold? Well, if you don't get a microscope out and have a look at it, fool's gold, if you rub it, will go black. And if you rub it on something else, you'll make that go black. But real gold, if you rub it on something else, we'll leave gold on the other thing. Because real gold is soft, fool's gold is hard. Because it's not gold at all. John has been writing to his people about the real gold. And he's been writing to them to make sure that they know how to test out and work out what the real gold is. Because the real gold isn't always what we think it is. In this world, people are very good at telling us what real gold is, and they think you find it in here. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not precious. We are. But actually, until we're filled with the real gold, we miss something. And we can't rob gold off on anybody else if we don't have it ourselves. John is speaking to people who have the real gold, and the real gold, the thing that's worth more than anything else in this world, is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who brings that into our lives, the Holy Spirit who fills us. The way that it works is very simple. We believe and we have Jesus. When we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, we believe that he died, we believe that he rose, When we have that faith and we express that faith, we receive that gift, which is Jesus' Spirit within us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Messiah is born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we are living that love. John talks about God's commands, and he says two things about them. The first is that God's commands are love in action. And, of course, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And the second one is love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said to his people, to us, that we are to love one another as he loved us. And by that the world will know. That's the gold. Very much the love of God in our lives is the gold, because God's love is a different quality to the love that you get in Hollywood and other places, because that's based on feelings, isn't it? I love him, Mother. I want to marry him. You're 14. Shut up. It's not like that. All the feelings in the world, right? Who's made a stupid decision because you were feeling it? Okay? Easy done. I've made some stupid decisions because I was feeling them over the days. Sometimes we open our mouth before our brain is in gear. It's easy to do. Right? Cause the feelings. And the feelings can overwhelm us, and out it comes out of our mouth, and about 3 minutes later we go, shouldn't have said that, when we see the look on the other person's face, right? Feelings are not facts. It's one of Nikki Gumbel's favourites, but it's true, isn't it? God's love is not about feeling. It's a truth, a fact, because God is love. It's the character of the Father. When Jesus said, protect them in the name that you have given me, Father, the name of the Father is his character. And the way that that works, when we talk about a name in Scripture, the name of God contains who he is. It tells us who he is. This is why Moses said, well, give me your name. And what did he say? I am who I am. Because he is the ultimate reality and the ultimate truth. So when Jesus said, protect them in the name, it's not just sticking a hedge around us or keeping us safe. It's actually bringing us into a place where the name of God resides within us in the power of God in the Holy Spirit. And that brings us eternal life in his name, in his name. We don't have life in and of ourselves. The Bible teaches us that all life comes from God. And therefore, if God did not give us life, we wouldn't be here. Therefore, the life we have within is the life of God within us. To a certain degree, everybody has that. We're all made in the image of God, aren't we? And we're all loved by God in that image as we are. And some of us are not that great, and some of us have all sorts of things, and some of us, well, we might be sitting in a jail cell somewhere, and some people might be out earning millions. We, to God, are all children he loves. Doesn't matter where you come from, what you've done. But what he wants is to put his name right here. Right here and right here. A big stamp on your forehead saying, mine, from God. Because then under his name, in his name, he then doesn't just have us to love in this life, but in eternal life we will be with him forever. And any parent knows how good it is when your kids and you can have a relationship with them, they can be there with you, how important that is, how good that is. And sometimes that isn't how we experience our kids. Things don't always work that way, do they? God knows exactly that. He's a parent. He is our Father. And he has given us this pure gold. And he gave it through Jesus. Faith leads to wanting to live in love. The way we live in love is to follow what God has taught us to do. And following what God has taught us to do isn't a burden, John says, because we love God. And when you love someone, you want to do what they want you to do, don't you? Because you want to please them. The commands aren't a burden to those who want to follow the Lord. They can feel like a burden to those who don't know him yet because it all looks a bit like I've got to change my entire life. But indeed, the first commandment, the commandment Jesus gave his disciples, is the major one he wants us to do. And loving one another isn't that hard when we realize it's not about the feeling, it's about the action and the truth of it. So I was at a conference and our major speaker was a man named Johanna, and he was talking about love. And one of the things he said, because he is a Palestinian, Israeli Christian. He didn't start off as a Christian. He started in a nominal Christian family and then wandered off, got upset with God because he thought God was the God of the Israeli government as a Palestinian kid, and so he hated all Jews. And he decided he was an atheist because he was over it, which happens. This is part of the culture he lived in. Anyway, he started searching because of a couple of things, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he was told to love. And he didn't want love. But he had Jesus come to him, and so he started following and looking for Jesus. And then eventually he read Matthew 5, where it tells you to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, and he didn't want to do that. And then after that dream, which he had a couple of times, he was walking home late at night and he came across some Israeli guards. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know what they're carrying, these huge machine guns and the whole works. And he's a Palestinian guy walking at night. They're immediately suspicious. And instead of doing what he wanted to do, and which was sort of try and work out how to avoid it or just behave like anybody else and be scared, when they asked him what he was out at night for, he said, "Because I love you." The guards were so taken aback, they stopped and they had this chat, and he was able to tell them about Jesus, the Messiah. And then he went on his way and they let him go. Love, God's love, is not about the heart. Did he feel that love for them? No, not at that time. He does now. At that time, what he needed to do was put into practice the truth that he knew in his heart of hearts, that God is love, and choose to love. And in choosing to say, "I love you," to those guards, then he began to sense that the love of God was working through him. And then he started to understand that love is a verb, a doing word. It's not a feeling. As much as feeling love is good, that comes later. To love God is to do the things of God. To love one another is to do the things for one another that God would have us do. And when we start doing those things, even if we're having trouble with someone, if you can give something to them, care for them, say something to them which is nice, you'll find that it changes how you feel, and over time we can move in that direction. Because that is what God wants us to do. John talks about being sanctified. The word, do you know what the word sanctified means? To be sanctified is to be made holy and set apart for God's purposes. So I don't know about you, but I don't feel all that holy sometimes. But that's not the point. God sets us apart for his purposes when we come to faith in him. And when we come to faith with him and in him, and he sets us apart for his purposes, he begins then to sanctify us, to make us holy, and to give us the ability to live out what he's called us to do for his purposes. When we come to faith in Jesus, we get set apart. That is one of the problems and the joys of being a Christian, because after all, in a lot of places in the world, once you're set apart as a Christian, you're also going to get in trouble with the authorities, just as John's people were getting in trouble. It's a process, and it starts with faith. And what is the faith? Is it this big faith that you need? Mustard seed. Tiny wee little seed. You only have to have enough faith. Say, yes, I believe this much. And God will take a hold of you if you will take a hold of him at that moment. And from there, he's going to work on it. Because we are supposed to have the faith. He's the one that grows the mustard tree. Okay. And as we live it out, as we love it out, as we continue to choose to believe, it grows and it makes us more like him, because that's what he's wanting to do. Help us to be more like him in his name. And in that place, we have this thing called eternal life. And one of the things about eternal life is we have this tendency to decide that that's something which is a great future hope. I'm looking forward to eternal life with the Lord. And that's cool, because it is true that we will live with the Lord, because we're people of the resurrection and the life of Christ is within us in the Holy Spirit. And when we die, yes, we'll live. These flesh and blood has a use by date, but who I am does not, in Christ. However, that's true now. That's true now. Now I have eternal life in Christ. Some people feel like they've got to earn it, and then they'll get to that point, and then God will say, cool, you can come in, you've got eternal life. Now, to a certain degree, that's true in that the test of whether or not we have actually meant what we said and lived it out is there. But that's about whether we truly believe or not, not about anything else. The fact is, if you do believe, you've got it. We are seated in the heavenlies, Paul tells us. Each one of us has our place already, and we're already there in spirit. You already have your spot. In the spirit, we are already there. Doesn't feel like it sometimes. The world is a pretty awful place, and sometimes we say, well, if the world is this bad, how much better can heaven possibly be? Oh, a lot better. But here we have heaven on earth in the Holy Spirit who lives within us, and the eternal life we're given through faith in Jesus. And John writes that this is what conquers the world. This assurance conquers the world, because once I realize this and I can live out the love that resurrects me, and I can live the life that never dies, and I can walk in the faith that moves mountains, because Jesus said you only need a mustard seed to do that. And I walk in the light that protects me from the darkness. I can conquer the world. The world doesn't have any of that stuff. Thinks it does sometimes, because people are always looking for something. And indeed, people look for it in all sorts of places. And it can look like life, and it can feel like love, and it can feel like peace. But in fact, it's fool's gold. Because in the end, there is only one God. And he is the one who is going to give us eternal life, eternal love, eternal peace. Now. And when we come into that place and we truly walk in that place, and it takes a bit of practice, like, okay. That's why he says, sanctify them, keep sanctifying them. The way that's written is a running thing. Keep doing it, Lord. Keep sanctifying them. Keep helping them. Keep bringing them up. Keep protecting them, because it is working it out, right? We don't have it all organized the moment we come to faith. We have to live it out, to grow in it. And as we grow in it, we can help other people to grow in it, because we're all on that journey. And sometimes that journey starts in a really dark place. But I can tell you, the moment you come into that place and you know it because you're here, the light starts to break through, doesn't it? And then the light gets brighter and the darkness can get darker, because they're in contrast, but it never has the power it had before. Never. John wants his people to be reassured that they really do have life in Jesus, that this is the truth, and that this will overcome the world. But he doesn't want them to just keep it to themselves. See, the thing about gold is it's bright and it's amazing, and if you shine the light on it, it's sort of lovely, especially if it's polished up, you know. If you polish it up, ever polished up your rings, ladies? Guys, if you've got a wedding ring, ever polished it? Very nice when it's nice and new and shiny and it reflects the light. It's the gold within us, in the Lord, that will reflect the light to others. It will help them to see. So as we live it out, the call that John is putting out is not just to live it out within our community, to love one another as Jesus loved us, so that others will know that we are disciples of his. So it's not just love. It's love it out, live it out, so that others will know. Because, in the words of Reinhard Bonnke, God wants heaven full and hell empty, right? He wants everybody, every single one of his kids he wants up there with him, because that's what he wants. I don't know whether it's up there or over there or whatever. Who knows? He's right here. We just can't see him. And heaven, for all we know, is right here next to us, because that is actually something God tells us about it, after all. So if we are to truly live out this life, we need to live it between Sunday and Sunday as well as on Sunday morning, don't we? We need to live it so that people will know. Now, let me ask you this. This is a question that can be rather confronting, but let me ask you this. If some horrid thing happened today and you died, would the people around you know that you are a Christian? I ask the question because it's really important. I do a lot of funerals for people. It's part of the job. And sometimes I do funerals for people who've been in a nursing home for a while. And their kids say, we don't know why we're doing this as a Christian funeral, because Mum didn't have any faith, we don't think. But we think, because she took us to Sunday school when we were kids, then maybe we should do a church thing. But I've been taking Mum communion every month for years and sitting and praying with her, but her kids don't know that. Sometimes Mum, who I've been, or Dad, who I've been praying with and giving communion to, dies, and the family don't bother contacting the church to try and organise a funeral. They do a secular funeral, and I find out a month later that that person has died when I go to give communion to them again, because nobody thought to tell the family that that person regularly had communion. They did not know. Now, sometimes people have dementia or something like that, which makes it hard. But that's why you need to say it now. Because if they don't know, if you don't think the people you work with or the people that you hang out with, the people you have coffee with, would know you are a Christian, think about it. Would they? Some of them might. Some of them might not. Depends on, and sometimes it depends on their attitude towards church. Some people think church is just a hobby we have. I had somebody who had his brother said, he said, I'm going to church. And his brother said, why aren't you coming to whatever it was? And he said, I'm going to church. And he said, well, it's just a hobby. Why can't you do this? He said, no, it's a way of life. I'm going to church. It's not my hobby. It doesn't come after everything else. It's first, because God is first. It's not a hobby. And his brother was taken aback, because he honestly thought people went to church as sort of another hobby, like going to golf or going to the footy. Although that's a bit of a religion, I've got to say. But anyway, sometimes they don't understand. So I say I go to church, but does that mean that they understand that I'm a Christian? Little challenge there for you. But you know what? The gold within needs to shine, because those people are loved by God too, and he wants them too. And don't we want that too? Sure we do. I'm sure we do. Last story. A woman in a nursing home, old, with dementia. Nobody thought that she understood anything. She certainly didn't remember her own name. When the nurse was packing up her things, they found next to her bed a little prayer, and it said, "Lord, I don't remember my name, and I don't remember yours, but I know you know the answer to those two questions." She didn't know, but she still knew he was there. Amen.